Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Being that I live in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's get ready to dive into these confessions with people I know and people that I've never met. Hello guys, I hope you guys are all doing well. Welcome to the next episode of the City Confessions, and today I already know it is going to be such a special episode. I have Heather Manwaring. She's a photographer who provides a transformational experience of healing and personal expression for women in business and in life by helping them explore untapped rage, grief, and anything else they previously deemed unlovable. I also want to note that I did not write that. Heather wrote that, but I think it is so beautiful. And it just like pretty much wraps up what you do in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to put words in your mouth. So why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners and just give a little bit background of, again, who you are, what you do, and what your mission in life is.
Awesome. No small question. So my name is Heather, and I am a native Californian. I grew up in Southern California, and I made my move to New York a few years ago after I'd gone through a really deep healing experience and finally had space to really discover what it is that I really loved, and kind of the culmination of everything that I'm passionate about was able to be combined through this medium. And so it was just kind of a big aha moment for me. And I was living in Tahoe at the time, like right before I moved to New York. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can't do it here. Like, I can't do this thing here. And so my heart called me to New York. And so I moved. And it, like, my whole world changed and expanded and crumbled at the same time, and all these different things. And like, it was really, I felt like it was an initiation into my true self and like my true mission. And through that process, through the crumbling and the rebirth, it's kind of like, this is, I went through my own, like what I give to other people, I went through myself. And I'm like, that's how I know this work works, because like, I'm on the other side, or I feel like I'm on the other side of like the big, dark, heavy stuff. And it's beautiful. And so if I can, you know, my part, if I can do anything to help someone on their journey, or like put a puzzle piece in there, something that they're missing, like I'm so happy about that. And to be able to show someone the process of healing and the beauty that is inherent in healing, you know, like society deems it as like this big ugly thing. And yes, there are ugly parts, I will say, but to be able to put a spin on that and be like, oh, your rage is so beautiful. Like, your power is gorgeous. Your, you know, just the process of being human, I find so much beauty in. So, yeah, I'm wanting to share.
There's so much I want to ask you. Okay, so first of all, I think for people who are not familiar with your work, can you just explain exactly what that is? Because I think people might be a little lost now.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. So I essentially guide people through a process where they get really honest about where they are in their lives, like what they're struggling with, something that is causing them pain or grief, and then also what they want in their lives, like what they're looking to create, kind of with how they want to feel. And through that process is usually a range of rage, grief, just like awkwardness, even, you know, like I don't know what to do or, but you know, people, there's, room for people to scream, to, kind of smack a tree with a dead stick, you know, like really kind of get the emotion into their body and like move it through so that it really becomes integrated. And what I mean by that is like, it's part of your life instead of something that you try to avoid or, you know, all of that kind of stuff or disassociate from. And I take photos of that process. So, you know, someone who's screaming in their rage, you're going to see a photo of yourself kind of looking like a monster, you know? And then usually what's under that is sadness. And so it's just this, you're getting photos of like the truth of who you are in that moment, in every moment, and able to see the beauty of, like, you start with insecurity and doubt and all this kind of stuff. And then you're like, you find your anger and your rage and you get it out and then you cry. And then there's like so much space for newness. And people, like, I'm always in awe of women's ability to be like, whoa, I don't know what to do right now. And then start dancing or do something that makes them feel alive. And they look so gorgeous. And it's like, it's just, yeah. So
I can tell you're so passionate about it. And it's like, it's so contagious. Like I can feel the energy. But walk me through the whole process. Like, how does one find you for that, one? And then two, I'm sure, you know, people who are going into it, obviously being vulnerable and scared and just being, I mean, I'm trying to like put myself in that situation. I would not know how to act. And I feel like it takes, do you have like an exercise or like a warm up? Because how do they even let go? You know, like I would be like, oh, I don't know who you are. And you know, it's scary.
It is scary. And I think part of the magic that I bring is creating that safety for people right away. And that's kind of always mostly been true throughout my life, is just people feel safe to tell me stories that they've never told anybody. And then through the process of my own healing, I picked up some tricks and modalities that really help drop people into the present moment. One of those is, it's called relational meditation. And it's just essentially like, it's eye gazing, it's full focus on you and, you know, what's going on with you. And, you know, if there's like real discomfort, then like I share my vulnerability, you know, and, just connect. Like I find that just people want to connect, you know? And so when they have a space and they feel safe, there are so many people who are just like dying to be honest and express something that they have not been able to express. It's like, it literally, like we carry it in our bodies, like this unexpressed stuff. We carry it. And like, we don't even realize that it's leaking out in our relationships, in our work life, you know, it's just everywhere. And so, yeah, sometimes I start with like some breath work. It really does depend on where someone really is at. Sometimes it's movement. Like I'll have someone kind of like, just kind of stand with their feet hip width apart and like bounce a little bit just to like
loosen
up and just, you know, not be so serious, you know? So it really depends, but it's just, there are so many things that like sound and, movement and like, just like physical, something physical, you know? So there's a lot in my tool belt that I can talk about, but those are some of the ways that we can start. And usually people find me because like I'm out and about and they meet me and they're like, whoa, what, that sounds awesome. Yeah. And you are cool. And
yeah, that's exactly what I said. Like, when I first met you, I'm like, I don't know anybody who does what you do. And I think it's just so awesome.
Yeah.
And I think more people should be doing it, because I don't even know what it is with our society right now with just, like, vulnerability. And I think with social media, I mean, there is maybe a movement going on right now to be, like, more authentic and sharing stories.
Totally.
But there's still – it's not as out there. It's still, like, people are struggling. And even, totally. Like, for me, like, I want to share, you know, what you were asking me, why mm-hmm. I want to start this podcast. Mm-hmm. There are parts of me that I'm still – like, it's, like, right here, and I'm, like, trying to, like, release it. But then a part of me is still scared, and I'm just, like mm-hmm. – there's never a right time, I think, right? You just kind of got to go for it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think it really is up to you.
Yeah.
You know? And I think if someone is seeing all this authenticity and vulnerability going on and then pressuring themselves,
that's true,
not
yeah.
the right reason. It's not the right reason to mm-hmm. put yourself out there. Like, for me, it's just been one part of my healing journey has been, like, I held it all in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, growing up, it was just all inside. I didn't share. And so for me, this was the only safe way to share in this kind of weird way. You know, you think, like, oh, the world's going to mm-hmm. hate me. But it's like, the people I was around weren't safe. So somehow the world felt safer. And it was my way of, like, really healing and, like, being revealing myself to be seen. And like whenever I would, and like people would like support me or like share something, like, oh, me too, it was always worth it for me, because I'm like, ah, oh, if I can make
mm-hmm.
one more person feel less alone, oh man, like that's so worth it for mm-hmm. me. It's worth the fear, it's worth the risk of rejection and judgment and all that. It's worth it. So I think it really does kind of come down to why you want to share. And like, there, I do think that if your intention is to mm-hmm. be out there and vulnerable and authentic, you'll know. Like, you'll know when it's time. And usually, not always, but usually it feels like this, like, sinking into the gut mm-hmm. and like, oh, I'm scared mm-hmm. as fuck, but like, it feels right. And that's, I usually wait for that, you know, whenever, mm-hmm. whenever there's something that I haven't shared yet. And I'm like, oh, I could rock the boat with
yeah.
this, you know.
You're totally speaking my language and kind of giving me just like reassurance, because it does come from like an authentic place. Like mm-hmm. I don't feel pressure in a sense. And I've always said to myself, like, I'm trying to honor, mm-hmm. Again, the healing process. And it's like, mm-hmm. I know, you know, that I want to share whatever, whenever that would be, but it's like being able to, again, being acknowledging, saying like, mm-hmm. this is the time, and like not feeling rushed, because I mm-hmm. think when you feel rushed, like you're not giving, again, enough time for you to heal and really just take a almost like an outside mm-hmm. step and being like, wow, this is what I've been through. I've overcame it and mm-hmm. and I'm stronger, and now I'm ready to tell my story.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely feel like I'm definitely there. Actually, this is the last episode of this season, and I after this one, like, is when I want to be able to like either wrap it up,
yeah.
whether that means sharing what I want to share or leaving it for the next year. But again, I'm just going to like,
cool.
you know, kind of like let it flow.
Yeah.
But that's why it's so relevant. And I think it's so crazy, because I really believe in the universe.
Yeah,
and they're going to think so. I'm crazy talking about this again. But just how like we're connecting
mm-hmm.
at this specific time, I think it's so, so relevant. And mm-hmm. like for me as well, it's just,
mm-hmm.
it's crazy. Okay. So let's kind of, you know, take it back to New York. You were saying
yeah.
that when you were in California, you didn't feel like that was maybe the place to kind of do your work.
Yeah.
So what was it about New York that attracted you, and had you visited previously? Like, what's your relationship with New York City?
Yeah. I had no idea. I had no idea what it was like in terms of like, other than what I'd seen from the movies, because I'd never
okay.
been.
Oh
I'd
my
never
God.
Been. I didn't know anybody.
Wow.
And all I really heard from from, you know, family or friends was like, oh, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's like literally crazy town over there. And like my family was really scared that I was moving and, you know, like really like, oh God, like if shit goes down, like you're in the thick of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, okay, yes, that's true. And for some reason, I'm not scared of that. Like I'm scared of a lot of things, but for some reason I'm not scared.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know why New York.
Okay.
It was just, okay, what I do know is that I can't stay in Tahoe. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go back to Southern California because it didn't feel like home. I knew it, you know, it was like, if I were to go back to Southern California, it was something I knew or like knew from my perception at the time, you know? And so New York felt like totally new. And I believe when you're looking for different results, like you got to do something totally new. And this was totally new. I didn't know anybody. And it just so happened that everything just lined up.
Lined up, yeah.
It's so beautiful how that happens mm-hmm. when you're like, you make a decision and you're like, okay, come hell or high water, I'm doing this. And then it just like, boop, 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 boop. Mm-hmm. And when I got to New York, I literally was like, holy shit, this place is nuts.
It is.
It's wild. Nuts.
Especially from Southern California.
Oh my God, yeah. Like the pace is like times three mm-hmm. at least.
Did you find yourself like adjusting really quickly though? Or did it take you some time?
It took some time. I mean, kind of like I was so eager. Mm-hmm. to get my business started and to like find my footing that I think I bypassed a lot in the beginning of like how stressful it was mm-hmm. in the beginning. Like, I mean, my body just from walking around and like the noise mm-hmm. and like everything, like mind you, coming from Tahoe,
which
I know. Is like mountain town.
I know.
You know?
I mean, I've never been there, but I'm like, it's crazy.
It's completely opposite. Mm-hmm. And so like my knees started like, fritzing because they're like, what are you doing to mm-hmm. me? You know, like my nervous system was really mm-hmm. And then I eventually just was like, okay, no, I like this, you know, I really love
you thrived off of it, right?
Yeah, I really like it. What I've heard about New York too is that like if you can last here 6 months and you like it, then you can live here for a long time. But if like 6 months goes by mm-hmm. and you're like, nope, nope, mm-hmm. nope, nope, this is New York is not for you.
I haven't heard that term, but that's really, I feel like it puts in perspective of being surviving in New York.
Yeah.
And like, it's also about finding your lifestyle.
Totally.
Because New York, I think it's all, it's acknowledging what type of life you want to live.
Totally.
And like New York isn't for everyone and that's okay.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
Totally. And it was, for me, it was like, I fell in love with the people first and foremost. It was like, God, the people are direct. Mm-hmm. They are like passionate. Mm-hmm. They are like, they're willing to hustle for things that like most people, like I grew up around like non-ambitious people. So for me, it was like, these are my people. Cause like I'm ambitious and like I have a big mission and like I'm surrounded by people with big missions mm-hmm. and doing cutting edge stuff. And oh, it was so cool.
I love hearing that because I think people do associate New York with the hustle and all that, but I don't think people ever really say like, I am drawn to New York for the people, because there is this misconception or stereotype that we're rude, we're very just like in our own, you know, lane, which I think is a good thing in a way.
I think so too.
But I think it's all about, again, how you perceive it and how you take it, especially
totally.
If coming from, you know, where you grew up. It was probably such a different, you know, world.
Yeah, for me, it was so refreshing mm-hmm. because I grew up, like, Southern California, and maybe it's different now. I haven't been in a long time, mm-hmm. and I'm a lot different now. But my experience of Southern California was that, like, yes, really friendly, really sweet, but also, like, really fake mm-hmm. and really, like, kind of would throw you under the bus, but be sweet about it. And I was so disgusted by that.
Yeah.
I was like, ugh, just tell me to my face, like how you feel.
And that's what we do here.
And that's what they do here. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yes. This is so refreshing because at least now I know why you don't like me. If you don't like me, you know, I know why you love me. If you love me, you know, it's like this, I don't have to guess.
Yeah. There's no sugarcoating, no bullshitting.
No,
yeah.
No. And I love that.
I love hearing that because I feel like a part of my, just my personality in general, I'm really, really blunt. And I feel like growing up, it was kind of like, oh, she has no filter.
Yeah.
But I've learned to like, I guess, delivery. Because I think it's important to be honest,
yes.
But I'm learning to become a little more like cautious of how I say things.
A little softer.
Yeah, a little softer, but yeah. Still doesn't take away from my just
the truth.
Exactly.
Yes.
Love that.
And I think that's so like that's where I think California should meet New York,
mm-hmm.
is in that like, yes, say it kindly, but don't hold back your truth.
Got it.
You know, like don't be a dick,
mm-hmm.
but be honest,
mm-hmm.
and like don't hold back. And I think like that is the sweet spot for
yeah.
me. It's like I'm saying this with love,
mm-hmm.
and like I care about you,
mm-hmm.
and like I do care about kindness and not causing harm. And here's my truth, because I love myself and I'm not willing to hold this back for you,
mm-hmm.
or for the sake of our relationship,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And I think that's so necessary in relationships if you want them to be healthy.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And did you start your business in California at all, or was it you had the idea and then you kind of launched it, I guess, in New York? Or like, tell me about
yeah.
that process.
So I actually started as a painter.
Okay.
So I started painting because I didn't have words for what I was going through. It was, I think, a year or two before I moved to Tahoe, I started, like, I had my first, like, awakening. And I mean awakening not as like, but like, oh my God, I'm in so much pain. Oh my God, like, all these childhood memories are coming back. And like, wow, I've been like not dealing with this. And it was the first year I cried every night. I was like, I didn't want to be around anybody. Like, I only had time for my grandma, work, and art. Like, that was really my life. And so I started expressing myself through paint. And what I couldn't yet articulate in words, I would put on the canvas. And so really it kind of evolved from there, where I'm like, okay, I love painting, but after a couple of years, like I feel kind of lonely. Like, I'm not connecting with anybody, and I don't want to be stuck behind a table, you know? And so I started getting into like more digital art, like I would take photos for my digital art. I was very resistant to photography in general. I was like, no, I'm an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Photographers are
yeah.
artists. I had a very harsh judgment
yeah.
about it. But I was like, no, I'll just take a few pictures for like my design. And that just kind of, it
evolved.
Just kept evolving
mm-hmm.
from there, where I'm like, actually, I think I have a gift here, and people feel safe with me, and like, oh, well, okay, well, I love art and I don't want to give that up. I love people. I was like, now I can connect from a place that's more grounded and
mm-hmm.
not so like, everything's okay.
Yeah.
And I'm No, we're grounded here. I was connecting and yeah. And when I had this like big, huge clearing, it was like, oh, duh. Like, you love people, you love personal transformation and growth, and you love art. Like, this is so it. And so I moved to New York, and it was kind of like the launch of my business as I know it. And even still, it's kind of evolved.
Mm-hmm.
I started talking about it as like primarily healing for women who had been sexually abused,
mm-hmm.
'cause that's been, you know, my experience, and I wanted to really help women who would have the same experience that I had. And at the time, no one was talking about it. So it was like, everyone kind of looked at me like I was crazy and like, this isn't viable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not a business. Like, what are you doing? And I'm like, no, I believe it. I know you don't get it, and it's okay. But like, I just, and then Me Too happened.
I was going to ask you about that.
And then Me Too happened, and I'm like, oh, yes, people are ready. People are ready to talk about it. And like, it didn't surprise me that so many people had, you know, been abused sexually or assaulted sexually, because it's like, well, unfortunately, you know? And so, but it was like, oh my God, thank you to whoever started this, because it started the movement. And I'm like, okay, it's my time. Here we go. And then I had so much of my own healing to do still. So it just, like, I started documenting my own journey. So instead of it being like, everyone should do this, I'm like, oh, I think I need to do this. And so I started taking self-portraits and of myself in my rage, in my like grief and sorrow, in my like pleasure and joy and all these different things. And I'm like, whoa, I've never seen myself like this. You know, like, I've done tons of therapy and I've, you know, been talking to people, but like, I don't know what I look like unless I look in the mirror, and I'm not raging in the mirror. So for me, it was like, whoa.
It's like it is like a mirror though, right? It becomes like a self-reflection thing.
Totally. And so that's kind of when I was like, okay, so I guess it doesn't have to be women who have been abused, but it's just it's for really any woman who has experienced abuse ever in any capacity and has something that they want to say that they haven't been able to say, who like really wants to like get to the next level of themselves, like their authenticity, their truth, you know. It's just an opportunity to see what's going on and to really start to love what's going on, because it's like, I think love is really the only thing that truly changes things, is if it's like just, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, flooded with love. And so for me, this was also like such a practice of self-love. It's like, oh, I see you. Like, I really see you. And being seen is so necessary. Like, it's actually one of our core needs
100%.
As children and as adults. But like, you know, if you weren't seen or heard as a kid, oh my God, that's trauma. Like, that's traumatic. And so like, being able to give that to ourselves is so key as adults. And so, yeah, seeing, when I was able to see myself, I was like, oh, wow. Oh, like, I forgive the things that you've done because you were in pain, and like, oh, I want to take care of you, and I want to like understand you and love you. And so it just started that like self-dialogue and self-relationship that I think is so important. I think I deviated.
No, that is so beautiful and just so powerful. And you're like such a great speaker, and I'm like so present with you. It's like, I don't know. It was, I like got chills just like hearing that, because your mission is so powerful. And I think it's, I just love what you're doing right now. So I think like everybody should just take a moment to be like, wow, this is like amazing. Okay. We're going to shift gears a little bit.
Cool.
So you seem really grounded and just like you have your shit together, and you seem like you've been through a lot, right? And you said you've been through your awakening and you feel like you know yourself and you know your mission and all that. But I often ask my guests, like, what keeps you up at night, right? Because I think you can achieve a certain level of peace in your life and harmony and balance, but that does not mean that stays forever, right? Like, just because you wake up one day feeling your highest, it doesn't mean the next day you can't feel your lowest.
Totally.
So, and again, right now, I feel like everything's good for you. But like, just at your current moment, what keeps you up at night in terms of emotionally, mentally? Is there something that is currently stressing you out? And I ask just because I think it's so important, again, going back to like your story, people's stories in general. I love checking in with people, and we're strangers, but that's the most beautiful thing, right? Like, I think it's so interesting, because you can be going through something that does not relate to my life, but I'm still able to resonate with that feeling, or I can be going through the same thing as you. So it's crazy how that works out. So here's like your chance to kind of just say what's
true.
What's happening.
Well, and like, you're right, I am in such a place of celebration, because I feel like so much like of my hard work has finally paid off. Mm-hmm. And I'm like really enjoying the harmony and the peace and the beauty. And this isn't a stagnant state. Like it's just, it's not like, oh, I'm here forever, like mm-hmm. you said. And I think part of what really helps me sink into the harmony I feel right now is that I'm not scared of it dipping back down. I'm not scared of what's coming. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not scared to cry. I'm not scared. And so I think being like, for me, being able to accept where I am in every moment is actually what maintains more of just kind of this general happiness. And something honestly that keeps me up at night is like, how am I going to get this done? Mm-hmm. Like, this is a big mission I have. And at times it can feel really overwhelming. And like, it's too big. And people, you know, if someone doesn't respond to me in a way that's like, welcoming or supportive, it's like, oh, fuck, you know, mm-hmm.
But I feel like that doesn't even faze you though. Like, I feel like you say that, but I feel like I don't know. You obviously come across really, really strong. And I feel like your mission surpasses all of that.
At this point, yes. Yeah. And it still stings, mm-hmm. you know, when someone, or it used to sting really deeply. Mm-hmm. If someone rejected me or like wasn't ready for me or whatever, it'd be like, oh God, now I just need to stop. Like, I just like, oh, it's never going to happen. Now it's like, oof, okay, that would have been cool.
But on to the next
thing. Like, okay, you got to keep going. Yeah. Because it's that big, like mm-hmm. you said, it does carry me forward at this point.
And yeah, again, going off of this question too, because you can, like you said, be living your best life and that's fine. Like, I don't want people to think that if... Because you, again, I can be catching you on a really good day and you're like, I really don't have anything stressing me out, and that's fine as well.
Yeah.
Because that's part of life, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, right now I don't feel stressed mm-hmm. and like I can truly connect to the parts that do cause me stress on a day-to-day basis, which is like, am I moving mm-hmm. enough for myself? Like, am I taking care of my body the way I should be? That's not true every day, you know, where I'm like, oh damn, I didn't do yoga today, or like, oh, I ate like shit today. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, fuck, I can't do this. Like, mm-hmm. I cannot do this to myself because I have so much to do, mm-hmm. you know? And you know, something that used to cause me stress a lot was like, it's not happening fast enough, mm-hmm. you know? And I like,
you want that like instant.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, kind of like that instant gratification, or like, I need this in order to feel like I'm moving forward. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I get little blips of that still where I'm like, oh, I should be doing something right now. Or like, I need to make that happen. Or like, oh, like this is so slow. I don't but then I remember that like, divine timing is like real. Mm-hmm. And when I am calm and trusting and acting in faith that like the best things happen, and it feels so much better than when I'm like running around with my hair on fire, mm-hmm. like trying to like drum up some activity, right. You know? And so, you know, like what my life has been in the past few weeks has been like, okay, nothing's happening in this moment, and it's okay. Like, if you need some rest right now, take your rest. And from that quiet place, like, I can hear better like actions to take. So like, I'll reach out to this person, or like research this, you know, or who can I ask, you know, who I've worked with before, who, you know, if like, who is a good fit, like, who should I talk to, you know, just things like that, where it's like, okay, I'm growing my business organically, you know. And it's like, being in business is not always sexy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it sometimes feels gruesome and lonely and like impossible.
Mm-hmm.
but I think that's the beauty of surrounding yourself with people who are like you, you know, who are on a common, maybe you're not working on the same thing, but you know what it's like, you know what the stresses are, you know what the triumphs are, mm-hmm. you know? And so like finding people to connect with, and nature is a huge way for me to de-stress. I think nature is so important for, especially as New Yorkers, because we're constantly around stimulation mm-hmm. and like, mm-hmm. you know, all these different things. And nature is so like such a beautiful reset. And so I'm, as often as I can, I'm in nature, and I think that helps a lot. Regulate some of like my emotions and like the stresses and mm-hmm. my nervous system. It just kind of, yeah. So I have tools. I guess I think that's what I'm trying to say here is like, I have stresses like everybody mm-hmm. else. There are things like, honestly, I couldn't sleep last night because mm-hmm. I'm like excited and also kind of nervous, but like,
yeah,
like, oh, like something's moving. And I'm at my most creative at night. So it's mm-hmm. like, sometimes that also keeps me up. So it's like, I have like, I'm human. And I have, you know, up days and I have down days, and it's just, but I think the power is in how you respond.
100%.
And mm-hmm. if you have the tools mm-hmm. and like, I have a tool belt, like a full tool belt of tools. And I have a partner who, you know, is extremely supportive and takes care of me on the down days, you know? Yeah.
No, I love it. I think we all should tap into our toolbox sometimes and like figure out what works for you. Because I think mm-hmm. there are times when people are so, as New Yorkers, it's so easy for us to just like react instead of, again,
totally.
Taking a second to say like, how can I respond to this, instead mm-hmm. of just like being instantly, you know, mm-hmm. affected by things that you cannot control.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And that's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's tough.
It is.
It's a tough journey where it's like,
I know.
Okay.
Breathe.
Okay.
It's amazing actually taking a breath, how like what it can do for you. And I think people forget that.
Totally.
Like when I'm like stressed, I'm like literally just take 3 breaths in and out, and you're like, wow, I feel so much better.
Yes.
Like the problem that I was literally worrying about yeah. a second ago, it doesn't even exist.
Right.
It's crazy.
Right.
Okay. So as you know, this podcast is called The City Confessions.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end, I have my guests come in to kind of share a confession they have.
Mm.
And I'm hoping this is a safe place for you to say whatever you want. And this can be any levels, right? Any form. It doesn't have to be your deepest, darkest confession. It can be something very surface level, whatever you're comfortable with. Mm. But kind of just ties into maybe your mission, what we spoke about, you know, throughout this 30-40 minutes. Yeah, and just like kind of complete the statement of my confession is. I think silence is beautiful and there's no rush.
I think it's a beautiful question, and it's like, man, so I feel so much of my dirty laundry, so to speak, is aired. Okay, hold on, let me tap in to kind of like,
yeah,
see what wants to come out. I That's so interesting because, like, two things come to mind. One is, like, like, there are still some areas of New York and sometimes where, like, I feel incredibly scared walking down the street.
For your safety?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't, like, I've done a lot of work to feel safe in my body, you know, in the environment I've created for myself. And there are still moments where I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, someone's gonna like hit me over the head, mm-hmm. you know? And it sometimes feels a little bit weird for me to like feel both of those as true, you know? Like, where like, yeah, I feel safer than I ever have mm-hmm. within myself. And still, like, keep a vigilant eye, which I don't think is, like, you know, I wish that were not true. Like, I wish that were something, I want to live in a world where that's not true,
mm-hmm.
where I don't have to be scared, or my friend doesn't have to be scared, or, like, even my partner is sometimes scared walking down the street. I'm like, God, really? Like, a big, tall white man is sometimes scared.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's sad. That really sucks.
But do you think it is possible to, like, let's talk about New York, because that's where we live.
Yeah.
I mean, think about how big New York is and, like, all the neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always say, like, obviously this area is safer than this area. Like,
mm-hmm.
is that your ideal vision of New York, though? Like, being a place where you can walk down the street at midnight, at 4 a.m., mm-hmm. at 3 a.m., whatever the case is, taking the subway, doing this, mm-hmm. walking through this alleyway, and it can be, like, completely safe. Because I think what you're saying is a sentiment that a lot of listeners can relate to. Like, it's not – even I sometimes mm-hmm. don't feel safe, and that's part of, one, being a woman,
mm-hmm.
two, being a human,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. I think that's a good question. And I think, honestly, like, part of what I see –
mm-hmm.
or believe as part of why people are violent is because they don't have their needs met. They don't.
I think it might. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot in that question or like that statement, because I was going to say it goes back to what you were saying before about like being seen
mm-hmm.
and being heard
mm-hmm.
in childhood. And I mean, there's a lot that,
yeah.
you know, can unfold in that.
Yeah. And I want to believe, and I like, on some level, I do wholeheartedly believe that if everybody had what they needed
mm-hmm.
and felt secure in first and foremost themselves, and also in the world, like where, you know, they feel like they belong to like a tribe, if you will, or just even in their environment, like if everyone were to find where they belong and feel at home and like have food to eat every night, have a place to sleep, you know, all the stuff, that I think like we wouldn't need to resort to violence
mm-hmm.
or, you know, scare tactics, you know, because
mm-hmm.
it's like, it's kind of, yeah, I see a lot of like power trips and fear and all that kind of stuff. So yeah. Like, that's what I want
mm-hmm.
for the world is everyone having their needs met and a safe place to sleep and love and live and
mm-hmm.
and to treat everyone with kindness and compassion, because I think we all know what it's like to be human, and sometimes it sucks, you know? And so having the space and understanding for people going through hard things, you know, I think is what is needed most,
mm-hmm.
you know.
You've said, you mentioned two things that come to your head. Do you remember the second one? Or is that really just, because that can be it as well.
Well, it's more like it's a funnier
funny.
Thing.
Yeah, that's fine as well.
Okay.
You love funny confessions.
Yeah, because I don't tell very many people this, but like, I'm a tricky fucker. Like, in the sense that, like,
I'm looking at you like, wait, what does that even mean?
In the sense that, like, I can smell BS from a mile away.
Okay.
And so if someone comes at me with, like, you know, something that they're selling or, mm-hmm. you know, something that I'm like, I can sniff that, like, you're not perfect. Or, yeah. like, I can sniff that, like, you got something going on over
yeah.
there. And so I'll kind of, like, I kind of feel like I'm sometimes just, like, in this dodgy. Yeah, like, I'm just dodging people's questions or dodging people's, like, you know, comments or
yeah,
something like that.
Like, filtering through all that.
Yeah. Or, you know, sometimes I just feel like I'm like, oh, yeah, what do you got next? What do you got next? Oh, yeah, you think you see me? Oh, you're good.
It's so funny. I love it, though. Yeah. To be, like, a lighter confession.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks for sharing all that. And I just want to take a moment right now to just be present with you and to acknowledge your presence and your energy and your mission and just, like, your whole being, because your energy is so beautiful. And I'm all about, like, energy. And it's hard, right? Because, like, you reached out to me, which I'm so thankful for. But, like, what you were saying, like, inviting people to my place, and eventually I do want to tap into, like, approaching strangers and having them share their stories.
Oh,
but
cool.
It's so amazing to have quote-unquote strangers also approach me, because I'm like, wow, like what you were saying, maybe, like, my mission and my work is also being heard and seen, and that feels so great.
Yeah.
And I've been doing this for a year. I started in January, and I didn't have, like, a mission or I mean, like, really a goal. This is a passion project for me.
Cool.
You know, and people have asked me, like, you have, like, what is your purpose, or, like, why did you start this? And, like a whole year later, I feel like I did a 180, and I'm like, wow, like,
awesome.
this makes sense. Like, what I'm doing is good.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like I've been, like, seeking for that, and I'm excited.
Like, do you feel more fulfilled
100%. Like, I feel like you gave me a gift today, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I want to, like, just acknowledge you and, like, really thank you for that. And it's amazing how, like, I didn't know what to expect going into this, but I'm leaving this feeling so, like, joy.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to explain when people, you know, I'm hoping, like, the listeners can, like, get something out of it. But when you're present and recording and just listening, it's like a whole different ballgame,
amazing.
You know, but it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I love it.
And I so appreciate, like, your openness.
Thank you.
Like, I think I told you before, I was like, I was really surprised by your response to me, how warm it was and how inviting. And I'm like, wow, she doesn't know me and she's inviting me into her home.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. She's coming back as a person. But and just like you immediately made me feel so welcome.
I think that's important, though.
It is so important. And like, just, I really honor your share in terms of, you know, wanting to find something fulfilling for yourself. Mm-hmm. And, like, you did that. Like, you started that, and you're doing that. And, like, I think that's so beautiful when you go after what you want and
as to you.
Say yes.
Yeah.
But I think it's beautiful that you have this platform, that you created this platform for yourself and for people like me and your listeners. You know, I think that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes. I really, really appreciate
being here
and speaking with you and having this opportunity.
Amazing. I have, like, three more last questions, though.
Okay.
So one more is, what is, like, what makes you the happiest? When do you feel?
Oh, that's such a good question.
Because when you were talking, it kind of, I never asked this question before, but it, like, brought up, and I was like, I wonder what, you know, like, yeah, what makes you feel most fulfilled? Is that your phone?
Is it? Is that me?
I don't know. It's not me. Hold on, guys. Yeah. So tell me about what makes you the happiest?
I love this question because, like, I immediately feel this, like, big bubble of, like, joy. Even before I answer the question, which I love. Honestly, being in nature makes me so happy. Like, one, it's kind of away from the hustle and bustle. And, like, I love, looking at the textures on leaves and like getting really like I get close to nature in these ways, and really just like the sun on my face, you know, like just feeling my surroundings and the ground. Like there's something so literally grounding mm-hmm. about the ground and just being in something that like nature doesn't want anything for me except for me to be. And like, I'm so happy when I'm just being and I don't have to do anything or like be a certain way for someone or, you know, all this stuff. Like, I'm just so happy when I can just like, yes.
That was such a deep quote. I was like, I never thought about that, but like, it's so true that you can just, it doesn't ask for anything from you.
Mm-mm.
Like, that's, wow.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause I never thought about that. And that's so true. I think that's why people go there, because it's no judgment,
mm-mm.
no expectations.
Mm-mm.
You just go there and that's it.
Yeah.
Just, that's it. Like, there's nothing else.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Wow.
And, like, literally, I've been able to, like, share some of my deepest, darkest stuff. Mm-hmm. I've been able to, like, celebrate, like, whatever, however I am, I'm accepted. In nature, you know, it's like she doesn't care. She doesn't care what's going on, mm-hmm. you know. She's there. And I think for me, like, having that relationship is so key for everybody, but especially for people who've had trauma in relationships. It's mm-hmm. like one of those things where it's like, yeah, this person, this entity, this being, this earth, like, doesn't want anything from me except for me to be me. And wow,
I love that
freedom.
Yeah,
the freedom in that is beautiful.
Yeah, and I think that also relates goes to like relationships. When you find yeah. like people that just do the same thing as nature, they don't want anything from you,
totally.
And they just love you and accept you for who you are.
Totally, and that's also my man.
Yes,
like, my man.
That's
is what. Like
that's
that.
The goal.
Yes, and so I like that's. If I had to say the other things, like that would be.
Yeah.
I'm at my happiest when I'm with him because it really. Or with my friends, anyone who just accepts me as I am and like where we can connect and laugh and or cry or
yeah.
whatever it
yeah.
is, like, I can come as I am in my relationships at this point in my life. And it's so fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Like my friends and like I've curated my friends and my romantic relationship to be like people who really love and accept mm-hmm. me as I am, and like I'm celebrated for it instead of like, oh, you should be different,
yeah,
or like, oh, you shouldn't say that, or like, oh, hey, I'm offended by that boundary, you know. So yeah, I'm like, I'm really happy with my people.
That's so beautiful. Yeah, second to last question,
yeah.
It kind of relates to what makes you the happiest, but mm-hmm. what is the one thing you love most about yourself?
Oh,
because
I love these questions.
No, I know. Because I feel like people share their stories, they have a warm up, but then it's going back to what you were saying, maybe even going back to your work.
Yeah.
Self-reflection. I don't think we compliment ourselves enough. We don't
mm-hmm.
lift ourselves enough. Like there's always a voice in our head, but that voice is often the one who's saying that we're not good enough. We're not doing this enough. But like
mm-hmm.
let's take that power back and, you know, change the dialogue and say like, what is positive, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I
yeah.
need to end this on a positive note, even though this whole podcast has been so
it,
inspiring.
Oh man.
Or you can list a few. We don't have just one.
You know, I have to say the thing I love most about myself is my resilience.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, I've been through so much
mm-hmm.
and I am not only just standing, I'm like blazing a trail. I'm doing the thing that I know I'm supposed to be doing. Like I feel it in my bones that this is who I am and what I'm here to do. And like getting to this point after all of the stuff that has held me back, that has hurt me, that has, you know, kind of like tried to squash me or whatever, however, it's like, I'm here
mm-hmm.
and I'm thriving and I'm in love. And like, I feel like in so many ways I've beat the odds. Because I, like, there were so many nights and moments and years where I thought like this would be my life forever. Like, I'm just going to be in pain forever. And now to kind of be on the other side of that and be like, oh, like, there's always something, but like, I'm not in that kind of pain anymore. Be like, wow, I'm a rock star. Like, wow. I have fucking done my work, you know? And now I'm in a place where I can share that, like, totally, fully, with full availability and love and compassion. Like, oh, fuck yeah. I love that. I love that I can offer that because I found it in myself and I'm like, you know, really, really done it. So, yeah.
Don't you feel great,
though? I feel so good. It feels so good to just be like, yo, I did a hard thing. I did one of the hardest things, which is healing and like confronting my darkest, deepest shit. And now I'm here and I like, I love that shit. Mm-hmm. It's not even like, oh, you know, I healed and now it's like gone. Yeah. It's like, no, it's fucking integrated. Mm-hmm. It's literally with me and I love it. I love it. Like, you know how hard it is to love something that
basically killed you, like once killed you?
It fucking killed me. Mm-hmm. It killed me over and over and over again. And yet I learned to love it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I did the thing.
Yeah.
I fell in love with my darkness. That is so fucking amazing.
Wow. That's like, oh, I'm telling you, like this whole like hour, I've just been so inspired and just like chills. And I just want to thank you so much again for being here. And of course, the last question is let the audience, well, the listeners know, what do you currently have going on? First of all, this is like, we only have like two more weeks of the year when this launches. So maybe in 2020, like what should people be on the lookout for? I'm obviously going to leave all of your information in the description, but just what are your goals? Like, what do you, you know, like talk a little bit about your mission and everything else.
Okay. So 2020 is literally going to be like my best year ever.
I know it.
because like I'm focusing on collaborations and partnerships and really like curating a team for me to help me spread this. So what I see is like, this is going to be global, you know, something where like people either fly me out to shoot them or like come to New York. And like, I just see like such a tight knit community around this because it's so like different and unique and awesome. So yeah, I see a lot of partnerships with like big time people and people who are aligned with what's going on and what I have going on. And I don't know exactly what it'll look like, but I'm so down for whatever that is. And I feel so good about it.
I love that. And I already know that you are going to do like such amazing things and 2020 is going to be your best year yet.
For sure.
And I'm hoping that I can contribute in helping to like spread your mission and your everything that you're doing, because I think it's beautiful. And I hope that you guys have gained something positive, even if it's just one person who's listening. And yeah, like I said, I'm leaving all of Heather's information, but spread the word, because what she's doing again is like, I just commend you. Like, I want to like just like bow to you and be like, yes, because I love it. And like the whole point of it is to like spread awareness, right? Mm-hmm. To get more people to acknowledge like what you're doing, because if maybe they're not the ones seeking you out, like I know they know somebody else that will benefit from that.
Yeah. Oh, and also I wanted to leave too. Like,
yeah,
I do have like a free meditation. Like it's I recorded a meditation that I do before every shoot, along with a PDF of like helpful questions.
Perfect.
I'll also leave that.
If
they want to download it.
Totally. I'll leave that in the link, and then I'll also leave your email if you're fine with that.
Totally.
And feel free to email. I'm sure Heather would be fine with that. Email her for any questions.
Yeah.
I'm a connector, so I love connecting people. So if you can, if any of you guys feel like this was helpful or just like just want to say how much you love the episode, you can do that as well.
Yes.
But I think you were the perfect guest to like kind of wrap up my like season. Awesome. Wow, it feels so great. It's like literally like a 180.
Yes.
So again, thank you so much. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. And then the last episode will be next week, which will be a solo episode. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, thank you so much again.
Thank you.
All right, bye guys.